grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The sermon for our Lent meditation this evening continues in the Gospel according to St. Mark, continuing in chapter 14, tonight beginning at verse 27. "You will all fall away," Jesus told them, "for it is written, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered. But after I have risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee." Peter declared, "Even if all fall away, I will not." "I tell you the truth," Jesus answered, "today, yes, tonight, before the rooster crows twice, you yourself will disown me three times." But Peter insisted emphatically, "Even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you." And all the others said the same. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, dearly loved by God, we may not always intend to do it, but often we end up talking about ourselves. The question always is, are we speaking the truth about ourselves? And how do we really know what the truth is about ourselves? The Greek philosopher Socrates, of course, said that the unexamined life is not worth living, and that the greatest gift that a person can have is to know yourself. We might be able to argue that that's the greatest gift, but it is a good thing, isn't it, to know something about myself, what makes me tick, what I can depend upon myself for, and so forth. But how do I do that and know myself? There's the old story about the man when someone told him, "Know yourself." He quipped back, "Well, fine, but who's going to introduce me?" So I might have a view of myself as I look into the mirror and think about it. At times I can learn more about myself other than looking in a mirror by listening with my ears and hearing what other people say. And this evening, in keeping with our general theme, we hear Jesus say, "I tell you the truth, you will disown me." He said that to his disciples in the upper room. Well, look first of all and realize how necessary it is to heed Jesus' warning. But then secondly, how important it is to hear Jesus' promise. Our Savior had turned his apostles, his disciples' world upside down on this Maundy Thursday evening. He had washed their feet. This was something that slaves did, that servants did. In their arguing about who might be the greatest, Jesus taught them a lesson and let them see themselves and the arrogance and the pride that they had, and he taught them that lesson about humility. He taught them a lesson about what we know as servant leadership. And then Jesus celebrated something with them that both Jesus and the disciples had been celebrating since they were kids. They were there to celebrate the Passover, like they always did. But then, after supper, Jesus gave them a new meal. Jesus turned them away from the old covenant to the new covenant. He told them, "This bread is my body. This cup is the blood, my blood of the new covenant. And this body and blood are poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. And so Jesus' disciples were getting confused, hearing Jesus say things that they had never heard him say before, doing things that he had never done before as well. And then Jesus quoted some scripture to them. It was a warning. It was a warning not only to Peter, but to all the disciples. We don't know the immediate reaction of the other apostles, but we do know that it really didn't have much of an effect on Peter as he continued to be the overconfident man that he had been through Jesus' whole ministry. Peter had told Jesus, even if everybody else will fall away from you, I never will. And it was with that confidence, ignoring Jesus' warning, that Peter traveled with the others to go to the Garden of Gethsemane. Peter did not know the spiritual darkness into which he was walking. Had he heeded Jesus' warning, had he listened to Jesus' warning, then he would have been more prepared. Jesus gave that warning to his disciples by quoting them from the prophet Zechariah in the 13th chapter. Jesus told not just Peter, but all of the 12 that were right there with him, "You will all fall away," Jesus told them, "for it is written, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered." Jesus wanted them to know themselves. When they looked themselves at themselves, they saw people who were going to be strong, who were going to stay loyal to Jesus, especially Peter. But Jesus warned them not to be so overconfident, not to be confident in self, not to have their confidence in what they saw in themselves, but rather gauge it by what they heard with their ears in that warning that Jesus gave them. Jesus gave them that warning so that they would know and be ready for when it came. Jesus, the Good Shepherd, would be struck down because he was bearing our sin and our guilt and our rebellion and God's judgment against us. Peter made the mistake of thinking that by combining his faith with his emotions, that he would be able to stay loyal to Jesus. Is that necessarily wrong? I mean, the part about tying our faith to our emotions. No. In fact, when do we often do that the most? When do we really get emotional about what God has done for us in Jesus? When do we really sit in the chair and think, nothing could ever pull me away from this wonderful thing that God has done for me? I'd suggest Christmas and coming up Easter Sunday. Easter Sunday is my favorite time of the church year, my favorite day in the church year. Probably my most emotional time in the church year. And I'm tempted to begin to think that by tying that emotional feeling I have to my faith, that I'll be able to withstand and always stay loyal to Jesus. And even if everybody else falls away, I never will. That's exactly the situation here. It was Passover. They had celebrated the Passover. They were there with Jesus. It was at that very emotionally strong evening and activity that Jesus told Peter he was most vulnerable and that his emotions were not going to be able to keep him and the disciples from disowning Jesus. And so tonight, we hear also that warning from Jesus. Put other ways in the Bible, whoever thinks he is standing, take heed, lest he fall. Watch and pray so that you don't enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. We do well to heed Jesus' warning. To listen to Jesus warn us not to be overconfident or confident in ourselves. To not look into our own emotions. To not look into our Christian history. How long we've been a Christian. To not look into how we have always resisted temptation in the past. And begin to think that we could never, ever deny Jesus in the future. Jesus told his disciples, and he tells us, I tell you the truth. You will disown me. And that's a warning to us to always be on guard. But there's not just for us to heed the warning of Jesus. We also want to hear the promise. And I hope you heard it and took note of it when I read the text. There's nothing new here. You and I listen to these same words every year. We know what happened. Jesus said, Peter, you're going to deny me. And Peter said, Lord, no, I'm not. Everybody will, but I won't. And Jesus said, yes, you will. Before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times. But did you catch the promise that Jesus makes? But after I have risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee. What did all of Jesus' disciples do? They disowned him. They all ran away. When you picture Jesus on the cross, don't picture the 12 apostles standing, or the 11 apostles standing at the foot of the cross. All of them. John was there, but he's the only one that's mentioned as being there. Jesus told them, you're all going to disown me. God's going to strike the shepherd because I'm bearing your sins. And you're all going to run away. But after I am risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee. We're going to be back together. You're going to follow me once again. Jesus gave them that promise. You sin, but I win. You're going to disown me, but I'm not going to disown you. You're going to turn your back on me, but I'm not going to turn my back on you. And after I have risen from the dead, I will return to you, and once again, we will be together. That is Christ's gracious promise to us. That even when we disown him, out of fear, in doubt, in sorrow, in carelessness, in relying on ourselves and things we shouldn't rely on, that He will not abandon us, that He will lead us. Jesus knew that He was going to die, but He knew that the Father was not going to let His Holy One see decay in the grave, but would raise Him from the dead. And He would lead His disciples again to the mountain of the mountain of ascension. And so Jesus promises that same thing for us. One day we will see Him again. And He will not allow our bodies to continue in that decay, however far along it is, whatever's happened to us, but will raise us from the grave. And we will come together again with our Savior. And He will lead us into heaven. So brothers and sisters in Christ, do not be like Peter and the other disciples. Don't disregard, don't put your fingers in your ears, spiritually speaking, and not hear the warnings that God, our Savior, gives us so that we don't disown Him, so that we don't become careless and rely on ourselves. As we do that, the Holy Spirit opens our ears to hear that wonderful promise, that wonderful gospel message that Jesus gives us. Speaking of Judgment Day, when you and I are standing before the throne of Christ, we won't have to introduce ourselves. Jesus is going to introduce us to His Father. He's going to say, "Here are those who believed in Me. Here are the ones who are covered in My blood, who are covered in My sacrifice, who did not rely on themselves, but relied on Me." And the Father then will not deny us. The Father will not disown us. But He will take us, the brothers and sisters of Christ, He will take us, His dear children, into our home in heaven. In fact, in promise and in certainty, He has already done that. Amen.